This is Ozarks at Large. The current Speaker of the Arkansas House is the Republican banker from Cabot, Davy Carter. Roby Brock, with our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, sat down with Carter before the Arkansas legislative fiscal session began this week to see how he thinks the private option debate will play out. It's expected to be the largest budget battle of the session. Roby began by asking Davy Carter what the odds are that it will pass in both the Senate and the House.
The House, 100%, Senate,
confident.
90%. I think the margins are thinner there, but I still think we're going to pass it.
What's the trip up? What is the hold up, I guess, particularly on the Senate end? You've heard all the objections that have been raised. Why is the trepidation? What do you think it is, and how can it be addressed?
Well, in fairness, I have not spoken to the senators who have changed their support. It seems to me that, well, of course, we're talking, Senator Missy Irvin.
Yeah,
she has an issue with the payment structure for the specialist. But, you know, Roby, until we get to the Capitol and until we go through committee, until we have to cast votes, you know, you take things you read and hear just as with a grain of salt, and you get up here and then you start debating those things. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else we can do, because everything for the large part said or thought was going to happen, all these assumptions, they're all pretty positive. So I mean, if the absence of anything that had developed negatively, I mean, tells me that there's more politics involved than the policy, and that's unfortunate, because in my opinion, this is pretty clear that this is what's best for the state.
And the politics are the federal health care law that people have objection to, and the big healthcare.gov rollout certainly did not help things in terms of the overall enthusiasm for healthcare reform in here. So you want to move quickly on a vote on the private option. How quickly do you want to move, and why do you want to move so quickly?
I'd like to see us vote no later than the second week. And I just think it's important, because that's going to drive all of the other issues that we're dealing with. I mean, it's $90 million out of the budget if we don't keep moving forward. So we've got to regroup, start from scratch. I mean, that is a lot of uncertainty that we would throw in the mix, and we can't wait around to the end, and there's no reason to wait around to the end. And if you don't know what your position is by now on this issue, you're never going to know. So we might as well tee it up and let the chips fall where they may.
So by forcing that vote a little bit early too, as you know, either at the tail end of the fiscal session or perhaps during the fiscal session, there'll be a filing period for political office that last few days in February, first part of March. Obviously, this plays out in Republican primary politics in a huge way. Does it put people on the record that they can't, that they're going to get primaried? They're going to get a Republican challenger. Do you think they're going to get one anyway for their previous vote, so they might as well stay with consistency?
Probably, and I think that is the least compelling reason in this whole debate. I mean, whether
that's
or not,
how people act.
I understand, but it's just not a compelling reason. I mean, I'm tired of being on the defensive about this issue, and there's such a hot button, hot potato. I mean, this has been so divisive all across the country. Nobody wants to touch it. I didn't necessarily want to touch it either. My colleagues that have like mind with me didn't necessarily want to touch it either. But I'm tired of apologizing for it. I mean, if I guess back to my point about teeing it up and having some accountability, I'm not interested in waiting to vote for somebody who may or may not have a primary opponent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you either support it or you don't, and if you don't, or vote no and run your race, or I mean that can't be the reason why.
You're proud of it because you've seen what other states have done in terms of coming to Arkansas, contacting you guys, emulating what the state did in terms of moving that Medicaid expansion funding into this private health insurance group. Am I reading you wrong on that?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm proud for a lot of reasons. I mean, I'm proud that we had the political courage to deal with the situation. I mean, it would have been so easy to just look at what was out there, particularly in that environment we had the last session, and just say, you know what, this makes a lot of sense, but it's politically, we just don't want to go there. It's just too controversial. I mean, to overcome that in that environment and the way that that was done, I mean, I'm very proud of that. And that stands independent of or what you just said earlier, but that it's just makes a lot of sense on what we're doing. We can't, for the viewers, I want the viewers to know, we can't make this go away at the state level, at the state capitol. We
can't make federal health care reform.
We can't make it go away. And, you know, once you realize that as a lawmaker, I mean, there's two schools of thought that diverge from there. You can either play the politics, or you can say, well, and recognize it and just go in and fix it and do what's best for, what you think's best for the people of Arkansas, but not engaging because it's easy politically, mm-hmm. and it's easy to win a Republican primary. I mean, it's very, very frustrating. So, that is not a compelling reason in this debate.
So there's horse trading going on, at least talks of horse trading going on, that some members who are still open-minded to voting yes or changing their vote from no to yes for the private option may feel comfortable doing that if there is a promise of some tweaks to the law in the 2015 mm-hmm. fiscal regular session. Give me an example of something that could be tweaked based on some members' arguments.
Well, and you're right, and there's been some discussions about that, and the devil's always in the details. You know, you talk about a tweak here and a tweak there, and you've got to make sure you're thinking through all of that. But I think right now the discussions have been, you know, basically where we're spending the money, maybe some of the advertising money or some things like that. Mm-hmm. But nuts and bolts things, I mean, frankly, right now as we sit here today, it's too early to come in and make any recommendations for any significant changes because we're just now starting the process. And that kind of backs into my whole argument that it's unreasonable to pull up on this thing right now. We haven't given it a fair chance to work.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, speaking with Davey Carter, Arkansas Speaker of the House. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large comes from AT&T, challenging drivers to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydroelectric power, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas, whose mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.